Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your peaceful night and for your continued watch over us and our households. We thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. If you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Again, that's Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to continue our teaching on we must know the reality of God's word. Again, we must know the reality of God's word, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Amen. So if you found Hebrews 11, please go to verse number 6 and I will read and you follow. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he, God, is, and that he, God, is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Now, I'd like you to look at something here in this verse before we continue. And it says here, but without faith. But without faith. It did not say without praise and worship. It did not say but without prayer. It did not say but without tithes and offering. No, it said without faith, it is impossible to please him. So faith must be important because it lets us know in Scripture that without it, we cannot please our Heavenly Father. So we, as born-again Christians, must realize that faith outside of salvation must be something we must know and understand completely. Amen? Many of us as Christians are living a weak life. Many of us as Christians live on the weak level of inadequacy. Many of us as Christians live on the weak plateau of defeatism because we have not risen to that level of strength where our Heavenly Father meant for us as Christians to live. In Ephesians 6:10, it encourages us to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. No one can be strong in the Lord without being strong in faith. Let me repeat that. No one can be strong in the Lord without being strong in faith. Therefore, I want to talk to you on the subject, the six principles of obtaining strong faith. Amen. Now, last time together, we were beginning to discuss the bottom line is we have to love his word. The bottom line is we have to love his word. So you want to know how to love God? Then you have to love his word. Amen. In the previous scriptures we read, we see the word keep. And that was in the scriptures that we read in John 14, verses 21 through 24. We see the word keep used three different times. And you may think it means to retain in one's possession or power, like a family heirloom. But in the Greek, the word keep means what you think does not mean what you think it means. The word keep is an action word that means to do it. It means to do it. It means to do God's word. When the Bible says to keep God's word, it means to do God's word. If you are not doing God's word, Jesus says you don't love him. You have to be a doer of the word. Please go to James chapter 1. Again, that's James chapter 1, verse number 22. And it says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, let me read that same scripture, James 1, 22, from another translation. And it's from the New Testament of Modern Speech by Richard Francis Wayman. And it says this, but prove yourselves obedient to the message. And do not be mere hearers of it, imposing a delusion upon yourselves. Wow. Very, very powerful verse. But let's look at these two Bible translations. In one verse, we see the word deceiving yourselves. In the other verse, we see the word delusion. These words are synonyms, and each one means trickery, mistaken in belief, or misunderstanding. Let me repeat that. That word that we see in both verses, deceiving and delusion, they're synonyms, and it means trickery, mistaken in belief, or misunderstanding. So if you are not a doer of God's word, then you are being tricked, you are mistaken in his belief, and you do not have the understanding of his word down in your spirit. Jesus says, if you love me, you will do my words. Amen. And that if is the qualifier. If you love me, you will do my words. Not just on Sundays, Christmas, or resurrection days, but 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Amen. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. So we shall live our lives by faith. Amen. How many really say they love the Lord? How many of you really say that you love God? But really, what takes place is God's word in your life. Does it take precedence in your life? If you don't do what his word says, you are fooling yourselves. God said it. If you love me, you will keep my words. That also means you will do his words, because God's word is a living thing. Amen. Now go with me to John chapter 6. Again, John chapter 6. And let's look at a scripture here. And verse number 63. Jesus is speaking and he makes this statement. It says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. They are spirit and they are life. Now, if we were to go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, we can see a scripture that parallels with this. And I think it's so important for us to understand this, because I think it will highlight and bring it out for us that we can see it more clearly. And it says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. Now, let's look at this real closely, because I want to explain to you in relation to what John is saying in John 6, 63, where it says, it is the spirit that gives life and the flesh profits nothing. It says here, and that the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground. Now, if he just formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he was just like a clay person. You remember when you were in kindergarten and you made clay figures? We made snowmen. We made other type of people, animals out of clay. Well, those were just clay. They had no life to them. But then again, God, it says here, and says, and God breathed into his nostrils. So God took his essence, his spirit, and blew the breath of life. The breath of life. So that man that he had created from the dust, which was just nothing, a figure, until he breathed into him the breath of life, and then that man became a living being. Just like in John 6, 63, it says, it's the Spirit who gives life. So that was the Spirit of God that gave life unto man, and he became a living being. And so, but until then, that flesh didn't profit anything. He was just a man that God had made out of the dust. Amen. So number one, it was lifeless. It was just like a clay character. And then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That's why we serve a living God. Hallelujah. And then finally, man became a living spirit. It says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Amen. So we have to know the reality of the word of God. Amen. When Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life, well, what did he really mean? What was he saying to us? Well, he was saying, if we accept his word and believe his word, and digest His word. It will cause our created spiritual life inside of us. It will cause or create spiritual life inside of us. That's if we accept His word, believe His word, and digest His word. And you and we will be able to live spiritually. Amen. Now notice, He did not say, "My words are physical things." Did you catch that? He did not say, "My words are tangible things." He said, "My words are spirit, and they are directed to your spirit." The problem most people have with God is they try to receive God onto an intellectual plane, and you can't do that. There are many who are intellectually inclined, who have trained their minds very astutely, and there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. They have gone to the best universities and have sat at the feet of some of the best professors, and there is nothing wrong with that. God created our minds for that. Now, I'm not belittling that. God has given us a mind that allows us to explore the avenues of this world and universe. But because of their intellectual training, when they come over into the realm of the things of the spirit, they are still trying to use the same intellectual template to understand spiritual things. Jesus says this, and this is what they're missing. "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." The words are not intellectualism. They are not philosophical ramblings. But His words are spirit and addressed to the spirit of man, to your inner man, not to your head, but to your heart. Hallelujah. Many are missing God because they are trying to figure out God with their intellect. You can't do that because we are limited. The human mind cannot contain God. It just can't contain God. God is too big for the human mind. Amen. That's why the scripture tells us, you know, God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." Because God is just too big for us. God is so big that it says, the heavens of heavens cannot even contain Him. The heavens of heavens cannot contain Him. God is so big that it says that you can't go under Him. He's so tall that you can't go over Him. And He's so wide that you can't go around Him. In truth, amen, God is too big for the human mind, but the Spirit is infinite. Being created in the image of God, He created us as a spirit being, and is only in the Spirit that we can understand God. Because God is a spirit and we are spirit. Spirits talk to spirits like humans talk to humans. Dogs to dogs, frogs to frogs. Amen. As your spirit is educated, when your spirit can begin, then your spirit can begin to educate your mind. And your mind can learn how to act on God's word appropriately instead of acting on logic or human reason. Amen. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're trying to locate God on their logical mind, on their human reasoning. You just can't do it. Amen. Jesus says, "My words are spirit and they are life." Hallelujah. When you feed on His word, when you know the reality of the fact that God's words are spirit and they are life, then God's word will make you alive on the inside. Hallelujah. It'll make you alive on the inside. They will give you life on the inside. It's more than a pipe dream, people. It's more than a moment of time. It is something that is everlasting and vibrant. It's something that's illuminating and makes you warm on the inside. Now, it's not an emotion. Don't get it twisted. It is not an emotion because emotions change. God's word remains the same and does not change. But it is a sense of the reality and the omnipresence of God in your own spirit. The words that Jesus spoke when he said, "My words are spirit and my words are life," ministers to your spirit. Amen. Amen. You have to rise up on the plateau of strong faith. That's where we going, family. We going and we're going to stay and we're going to level off at strong faith. Until you know and understand the reality of the presence of God in your own spirit, you will never be able to exercise strong faith. You will never arrive at strong faith. You will be a baby in your spiritual life. You will be a victim of your own circumstances. Too many Christians are just that, victims of their own circumstances. They are broke down and beat down by the blows of tribulations. They are beat down by the storms of adversity. They are buried deep by Satan and his demon hosts because they don't know how to rise up to the plateau of strong faith. They are down in the depths of the darkness with weak faith because they don't know the reality of God's word. That's why I'm doing this teaching, because we have to know the reality of God's word. You can't guess it. You can't think about it. You have to know the reality of God's word. They haven't learned that the words of God are spirit and they are life. They don't know that they can feed upon them. You can feed upon the word of God. Go to the book of Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. And it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in him." So the scripture tells us, go taste and see. Hallelujah. That the Lord is good. It says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in him." Not only is his words good to your taste, but you are blessed through them and will make you strong in faith. When the forces of evil come against you and the word of God, you can boldly stand and say, "I resist you by the authority of the name of Jesus." Amen. Remember, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those forces will have to come to an abrupt halt. Amen. God's word will set you free and you will have complete liberty. There are many Christians that dabble with the word. They play with the word just like a baby plays with his toys. And most of the times he ends up breaking them. There are some who come to the word and nibble around like a little bird. Then there are some who come like pigs and gorge themselves on the word. They get fat and full. Some get so fat that they can't even move around. Now, that might sound like a negative analogy, but it illustrates a truth that we can see. You ought to gorge yourself on God's word. Do you know something? That's the only thing that we see in the Bible that doesn't say that it's wrong to be a glutton about, and that's the word of God. It doesn't say that that's wrong to be a glutton about the word of God. Now, it tells you about being a glutton about your physical food, but nowhere does it even say to limit yourself on the word of God. I mean, you can just be filled full to the top on God's word. No, just eat until your heart's content with the word. It's good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted to see that the word of God is good? You need to. It's a living thing. It's alive. God's word imparts life to your spirit. Amen. Let me repeat that. It's a living thing. It's alive. God's words impart life to your spirit. And you know what? I'm out of time. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It just simply say, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.